Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DestroBros.com video games podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by TigerDirect.ca, the best computer and electronic deals anywhere. They have everything you need, from full-on computer to computer parts to computer accessories, anything you need. So head over to TigerDirect.ca, click at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site, and go get some great deals on computer parts and anything else you need to make an awesome setup. TigerDirect.ca. Computers! So, while we don't sell computer stuff, we do sell clothing. So please head over to DestroProds.com/store and check out some of our stuff. As always, we're looking for new design ideas and art. So if you have some, please don't hesitate to send them to bovy1@DestroProds.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like what we see, we'll put it on a bunch of shirts and pay you based on how well this product sells. That's only if you have art. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you. But if you have art, we use it. You will be able to make some money if people buy the stuff. Also, we're doing Extra Life again this year. For those who don't know what Extra Life is, it is a charity event that happens every year. This year it'll be happening on Saturday, November 2nd, from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m. or whatever other time you can do it, if like that time doesn't work for you guys. And it is a 24-hour gaming marathon in order to raise money for the Children's Miracle Network hospitals that we are supporting. So far, we're going to be Team Death Store Prods is supporting the Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. And we need your guys' help to help save some kids. So please go head over to deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. That is deathstoreprods.com/extra-life to donate or join the team and help us fundraise. All donations are tax deductible, and all proceeds donated go directly to the hospitals that we're supporting. So please, anything you guys can do to help will help greatly. So please, deathstoreprods.com/extra-life. It'd really help you guys out. It'd really help us out for you guys to do stuff. Save kids. It fell apart on me there at the end.
If you guys are sick children, then donate and it'll help us. Wait, no, that doesn't help.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to donate to your own cause.
Yeah. If you out there feel like sick children are bad, donate money, and there will be less sick children.
Or at least they'll be better taken care of.
Yes. They'll be able to put up a sheet in the hospital so you don't have to look at them as you go by. I'm a horrible
that
person.
That is terrible.
I am sorry, everybody. I am a horrible human being. I'm the Dead Man, by the way. You can find me on Twitter at DeadmanR2DBProds or email deadman@destroprods.com. Join me today, as always, we have Bovimon.
Hello.
The thoughts and views expressed by myself are also expressed as views by Bovimon.
No, they're not. I have my own views. My views can be construed as Destro Prod's views, which are therefore construed as your views. Then again, I guess we're sort of partners in this, so like one of us says, the other one's in shit for anyways.
Yeah. When you signed the contract, when you pricked your finger on that little needle that I put underneath the scroll as you rolled it up, you agreed that anything I said you would back me up on. Yeah, so video games.
Video games.
What you been playing recently, Bovimon?
Well, I guess I'll get the not new thing out of the way first, which is I have to briefly talk about Mass Effect 2. That's because I fucking have Garrus in my party now.
Outstanding.
And I gotta say, meeting Garrus, there's this whole lead up to it where like I always, from the get-go, I suspected that Archangel was Garrus. I do play a little bit stupid in my video, by the way. Just so anyone who also listens to this and watches that know. I'm kind of playing stupid.
I should really watch those.
That one's not actually up yet, so it'll be up today.
Since I'm no longer posting those, I no longer feel any real need to watch them.
I'm sure you will eventually. Anyways,
I watched Tang.
Yeah, I'm still doing freaking video catch up right now. I have to annotate a shit ton of them and get ones posted. And actually, I'm only one behind on posting, but a lot behind on annotating. Enough of that aside. I always get for posting so many. Yeah, I'm trying to do a one every weekday thing, but I'm doing two games at once. Luckily, what I'm doing for this week's Left 4 Dead 2 is it's dead center. It's only 4 long, so I'm skipping Monday.
Okay.
But yeah, I do play a little dumb, but I always had suspicions that Archangel was Garrus. And, like, I started to become pretty sure of it, and the moment I knew it was him is the moment I say I'm starting to suspect it in the game. Because I don't really want to lead on in my videos that I have any prior knowledge of Mass Effect. Which, I do have some prior knowledge of Mass Effect. I know the only Turian you get in your group is Garrus.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like, he's a Turian. Oh, it's Garrus!
Yeah, because, like, honestly, who else could replace Garrus?
Nobody could replace Garrus.
I mean, the only reason the only way they got away with replacing Rex was the fact that Rex was still in the game, and the guy that replaced him was like a genetically enhanced Super Krogan,
who's also amazing.
Yeah, and so Garrus is kind of the Turian Rex. So unless they were going to create a genetically enhanced like fucking mega Turian, you couldn't have anyone else but Garrus.
But yeah, as a note, I almost always have, in the first Mass Effect, my team was always Garrus and Rex, because their interactions with each other are amazing. They have quite the bromance going.
They're the greatest fucking characters, which is a shame that I couldn't fuck either one of them in the first game.
They have a very Mugen Jin bromance going on.
Yes. They even have the same colors.
Yes.
Watch the anime club for Samurai Champloo if you don't know who Mugen and Jin are.
But it's the same bromance. And just I feel like, yeah, a lot of their reactions to the same situations would be exactly the same. Anyway, so yeah, at that moment I'm like Garrus. The lead up to Garrus is amazing. Because they basically tell you how he's now Space Batman.
Yep. Fucking Space Batman.
Just like, he's taken down all the merc groups, he's taken out all the crime. Of course, he doesn't have Batman's aversion to killing people.
Yeah, the criminal mind is a superstitious and cowardly one. If he said that. If he said some facsimile of, these guys like believe any myth you tell them, and they are scared as balls. Obviously, he put it more eloquently than that. But that would be the icing on the cake. They just went full whole hog and just actually made him Batman.
But like he even has some of the manners of speaking. Like when he talks about how he got the name Archangel, the way he's just like, "It's just a name the locals gave me for all my good deeds."
Was he drunk at the time?
No, because he was murdering people by the hundreds.
You can do that while you're drunk. Don't ask me how I know that, but you can.
But yeah, no, I was so happy to see Garrus. And then I was so sad to, spoiler alert, see him take a missile to the face.
Oh, man. Yeah, that happens.
Now, I'm like, there's no way he dies. There's no way he dies. There's no way Garrus dies. I mean, they can kill Rex on you in the first game. But there's no way Garrus dies.
Yeah, and I talked about Mass Effect 3 on here before and talked about how Garrus in that game is awesome.
Yeah, but Rex in that game is also awesome, and he can also die in the first one.
Yeah, wait, Rex in Mass Effect 3? He's in...
He has some presence in Mass Effect 3.
I have not seen him at all.
He's in one of the demo missions.
I have yet to see Rex in this game. I have heard mention of Rex.
Rex is most definitely in it.
Hmm.
Because even when I played the demo had his mission.
Yeah, I just had some jackass Krogan who was like, "We're gonna cure the Genophage and take over the galaxy, cause fuck yeah, Krogans." And there was like a woman there who was immune to the Genophage and was like able to give birth. So she was like, and she just spent like the entire time just like verbally bitch slapping this guy. which was great. She's my second favorite Krogan. I believe they called her Eve.
Yeah, I think, if I remember the demo correctly, that the thing with Rex involved an escort mission of Eve.
That wasn't Rex.
Are you sure?
That was the asshole. Like I thought it was Rex the first time too, but then I actually got into the game and got to that mission and it wasn't Rex.
Perhaps they just made it Rex in the demo and then changed it.
Sue him! The demo lied.
Can happen. Lawsuit.
Yeah, EA and BioWare falsely advertised their game by saying you get Rex in your party.
Well, I didn't think he was in your party. I just thought he made an appearance. Anyways. Well, I knew Rex was in Mass Effect 2, and he can still die. That's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm totally unfamiliar with how the party dying thing works. So, like, I basically make all my decisions like all people can die at all times.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that one works either. Like, So when I played Mass Effect 2, I like went to the final mission. I had done all the loyalty missions. I'd done a bunch of side quests. I'd done almost everything I could think of. And
please
even like
don't
followed...
spoil too much.
It's different for every person. Well, kind of different. Well, anyway, I was playing the game, and I actually was like following an achievement guide saying, hey, that was trying to get the achievement of have no one die. And so I did everything they said, and Three of my people died.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't spoil anything there. I know that in the final mission, it's, you know, it's very much how you plan things avoids people dying, and I have one piece of advice that someone gave me, which is don't take Garrus with you.
Yeah, I got that
piece
of advice.
Have Garrus lead the other team.
Yeah, like with mine, it was just kind of, actually some bullshit deaths in my game.
Well,
because one of them was the equivalent of Kat's death in Halo Reach.
Oh.
It just, I got, oh. Let's go. Oh, I'm dead. It was fucking bullshit. And the other two died off screen.
But yeah, back to my interactions with Garrus in Mass Effect 2. I find it funny how after he wakes up after surgery, the nice option, I will say, because there's sort of, I'll almost call them flirtatious, neutral, and bitch dialogue options for people. And the nicest thing you can say to Garrus is to call him ugly.
Well, yeah, it's war buddy joking.
Yeah,
I'm guessing, you know, in like a hospital after like some. Okay, I'm actually not going to say that joke because I realized halfway through on the lead up to it that it might have been pretty horrible.
Well, it's good that you noticed.
See, so, I'm learning.
Moving on from Mass Effect 2, which is still amazing, and I'm still playing and still making videos of, and I will continue doing so, and I already estimated it at 360 videos, so look forward to that.
What?
Yeah, I estimated the playthrough time to 360 videos.
Okay, so I expect a lot more Mass Effect 2 content coming from Obi-Wan.
It just won't. I'm just wondering how the hell I'm going to fit all the fucking numbers on there. On the thumbnail.
Yep, that's why I don't play any game that would have me playing for longer than 2 digits. Or just stop before I actually get there.
Yeah, well, I have a friend who actually owns the copy of Mass Effect 2 I'm playing, and she wants to see me play all of it.
Okay, do you have the Cerberus Network stuff, like the DLC characters?
No.
I think that might be important.
Yeah, and people keep telling me that, and it pisses me off because it makes me give more money to EA, and it's just the exact type of shit that EA does. It's like, oh yeah, these characters are very important to how well you're going to do and how it's going to affect this game and the next game.
Yeah.
Give us your money, bitch.
Yeah, because they know they can get away with it. They know that no matter how much people bitch and moan, they're still going to pay EA.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I just kind of wish that BioWare wasn't purchased by EA or merged with EA or however that happened.
Yeah, I don't know either, dude.
I wish they had stayed a separate entity.
But, you know, money.
Yeah, money.
Yeah, money's kind of important.
But Mass Effect is, like, one of the only EA games I will play. And as previously noted, I am not actually buying the games. I am borrowing them from friends. And if I have to buy the third one, I'm going to buy it used.
I could lend you my copy. I don't want to fucking play it anymore.
Done. So there you go, yeah. EA. I'll buy your DLC.
Yeah, and actually,
I won't buy your games.
Yeah, and I bought that. And I bought the game used. So fuck you, EA. There's probably some, like, one EA like intern just hears like 1 second of this, and he's like, you see, this is what going to implement the Project $10 thing even harder. $10 to activate the game if you buy it used. That way, if you buy it used, you can't actually play the game until you give EA $10.
I think the necessary DLC is you know, them getting money enough.
Yeah, fucking Azura's Wrath. Capcom sold the ending of Azura's Wrath separately from the game. I'm not even kidding.
And as for the end of Mass Effect 3, I don't think I'm going to do the extended cut.
Okay.
I will suck it up and deal with the ending.
You'll deal with the ending that got people to try to raise money to take back BioWare's franchise from BioWare.
Yeah, in my mind, that was all sorts of stupid. It's like, well, the company makes the game they want to make.
Yeah.
You might be heavily invested, and I understand why you are, but you can't force them to do otherwise.
Yeah. Just send them cupcakes instead. Anywho.
Anyways, moving on from Mass Effect 2. Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was kind of on a whim, but I had been wanting to play a sim overlord sort of game for a while. And I couldn't for the life of me remember what all of them were. And I'm just like, I don't like SimCity.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell do I play? And then there was that post. I sent it to you and Pudge, actually, that I found about the person creating the Death Coaster in order to win at Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Okay.
And I was like, Roller Coaster Tycoon! Let's just say my first park was an unprecedented failure.
As most of them are.
That's because I forgot several key mechanics. Then Ninja Kitty basically smacked me, was like, no, you gotta do this and this and this. And then I was able to continue building it on my own and do pretty well. I didn't complete my goal. I didn't get enough people in my park fast enough, but I figured out what I needed to do to change that, which is I needed to borrow more money.
Okay, so you mortgaged your park?
No, at that point it was already too late. I'd already lost the goal, and I'm like, I'm running a park that's making money, so I'm just going to keep paying off my loans. But if I were trying to actually achieve those objectives, what I would do is, yeah, I would borrow a bunch of money. Because I was too worried about, you know, making enough money to add new things and expand, and it made the expansion kind of slow.
Yeah.
What I need to do is borrow a fuck ton of money and expand quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's still fun sometimes.
It's as fun as a sim can be, which is not very fun at all.
Sometimes I just leave it running and walk away because I know I've set everything up well.
Yeah, and you see that? That, in my mind, is why these games aren't actually games. If you can actually just, like, set the game down and have it play itself. Like, I'm pretty sure that was, like, I'm pretty sure that was one of the big criticisms of Final Fantasy 13.
As a note, when I come back, there's a lot of shit I need to fix. It's like, oh, apparently we are lacking a security guard, and my custodians are all stuck, and there's broken benches everywhere.
Yeah, but there's still the potential to just set everything up and then just leave.
Yeah, you are right. I don't play it that much, to be honest. I do enjoy sim games, though. On occasion.
You know, I'm too tired of actually playing games. I just kind of get one to watch.
Or not watch. Leave while I go and sleep or make dinner or whatever.
Yeah, I want to just run in the background so there's constantly something playing.
So one thing I found out is that you can create rides that are too scary for people. For example, I made a 300-foot drop tower.
Okay.
No one would go on it.
Oh.
I gave out free passes. Still, no one went on it.
I guess all the Sims are pussies. because isn't, don't they have something like that in like fucking Marine Land or something?
Yeah, I can't remember how high that is, though.
Yeah, it was like the Sky Screamer.
I shortened it to 200 feet, and then people went on it.
So, what you should do now is just like start like ratcheting up the height, like, but like 1 foot every once in a while, just see what like people's breaking point is. Just see where the, like the AI subroutines for those things just like says, "Oh no, the fuck, that's too high."
I should. It does depend. It is kind of by numbers, though. Like, if I made it even a little bit, if I made it a bit shorter, more people would go on it.
Hmm. Okay, so the Sky Screamer is 450 feet.
Yeah, and that shit, like, it's technically worse than this, because this just, you know, slowly goes up and then goes, woo!
Yeah.
With that fucker, like, up, and then down.
Well, actually, I'm pretty sure it's like a slow ratchet up, and then it starts doing, like, the drop down, then speed up thing.
No.
Oh, I thought
I'm
it was
familiar with the Sky Screamer. It goes, it blasts you up, then blasts you down. You'll laugh and scream until you touch the ground.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
You're gonna blast you, Sky Screamer. You're gonna want to ride it over again. Fuck you, no. Marine Land. Your songs are so catchy.
I almost shit myself going 15 feet. I won't do fucking 450. I would die again.
I actually might die.
I do not want to drop at speeds up to 96 kilometers per hour or 60 miles per hour.
I'm not kidding. That ride might actually kill me.
Okay. Now I have something to talk about on the Anything Cast. But anyway, continue on.
What about the Anything Cast?
Just on the page for that thing, it listed the measurements in like how high it is in meters and how high it is in feet. In feet, it was an even round number, 450. With meters, it was 137.2 meters tall.
It's a Canadian ride.
Yes, but here's the thing. Why is it that the metric shit is always the odd number out? Like 60 miles per hour or 96 kilometers per hour. Like, why can't they just say, like, hey, it's 140 meters. Nope, it has to be 137.2. Just, it's really awkward. It pisses me off.
Anyway, so moving on from that, I really only have one more thing to talk about, and it's an Android game.
Okay, what Android game?
However, it's probably the most fun Android game I've ever played. It's called Lazors.
Lazors. That sounds like an Android game.
It's a puzzle game. Sort of similar to some of the puzzles you might play in Portal. Or, sorry, not Portal, Portal 2, with the lasers in that.
Okay.
Where basically you've got blocks that you can move that either will deflect at a 45 degree angle, will either deflect the laser at a 45 degree angle, allow the laser to pass through and deflect it at a 45 degree angle, or stop it. And you've got to move the blocks around to cause the laser to hit a certain number of points. Once again, that will probably remind you very much of Portal 2.
Yeah. So, can you move the laser as a laser and the points like a fixed position? You just have to like manipulate manipulate the mirrors.
The laser is in a fixed position. You have to manipulate the mirrors.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like those puzzles in Portal 2, only you don't get portals.
So they're worse.
And you can only put the blocks in fixed positions.
Okay.
But it's still a fun time killer game.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with most Android games. Well, most mobile games, period. It's like, yeah, I have time like before this thing I need to do. Might as well just fucking play my phone games.
Sorry for the yawn. But yeah, it is an... I forget what I was about to say. It's an excellent time killer, and the one thing I find, though, is that the puzzle categories are supposed to be by difficulty, but I find some of the later ones way easier than some of the previous ones.
Mm-hmm.
I find some of the later ones help teach you the skills you need to beat the earlier ones. So I feel the puzzles are ordered poorly. Then again, you can do any puzzles at any time.
A very wonky difficulty curve.
Well, sorry, you can do any category at any time, and then the more difficult they get in that category, you can't go on before beating the one test. So I guess you could go to all different categories, beat as far as you could, and then start going to other ones and seeing what more you've learned and can learn and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I was gesticulating wildly there. I just thought everyone should know.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
But yeah, that's it for what I've been playing.
Okay, then on to me. So I guess since you ended with an Android game, I'll start with an Android game. Cut the Rope Time Travel. So this is a follow-up to Cut the Rope, I guess. And right off the bat, I gotta say, this game is way more optimized for my phone. So the first Cut the Rope game, whenever I played, like, the frame rate would chug like a son of a bitch. It would barely recognize my swipes. Half the puzzles I played, I'd like start swiping like five or six times, and then nothing would happen. And then all of a sudden, like all five or six swipes would happen like in rapid succession. But with this one, you know, I swipe once, it gets cut once, and like it plays a lot more smoothly, and everything works way better. So with this game, it adds the inclusion of a second monster thing. So this, what you're doing is the monster like ate like a time candy or something, and then he starts getting thrown around through time to meet his various ancestors through various points in history. Basically, now you have to get two candies into two different monsters' mouths.
Ah.
Yeah, and they add the inclusion of like switches that switch out which one is actually in position at the time. They have portals in there now. They have like bounce pads. They have bombs. They have steel chains that can only be cut with stars ninja stars that are on other chains. And they've added all this new stuff, and at no point does it ever feel like needlessly overwhelming. Like, it is very simple in like the mechanics of how it uses everything, and it plays really well.
Yeah, it's cool with any game when it's a basic complete this task to move on to the next task, and when they add things and it still feels natural. I'm going to talk about a much more high-end game when I reference Portal 2 with this. Because, honestly, it's a game that added a lot of things to its puzzle solving, but at no point does it overwhelm you. It adds the repulsion gel, it adds the conversion gel, it adds the acceleration gel. It adds aerial faceplates. It adds lasers. All sorts of shit gets added, but at no point is it overwhelming. Light bridges, that's the other thing. Light bridges.
Yeah. Yeah, so this game, like all the new additions, they feel like natural within the realm of like what I've come to expect from a Cut the Rope game. And it all plays really well. And the addition of these new things is actually kind of cool because it adds some new things to puzzle solving. But one thing that I am not entirely sure if I like on is the switching between like actual like manipulation solving puzzles of like, okay, so I gotta get like this thing over here and then like gets into this thing and then knocks this thing over and then like it pops a bubble here and then that swings down up into the monster's mouth, and just there's a really simple solution to this, but it all involves perfect timing. Those are puzzles I'm always a bit iffy on.
Yeah, anything with perfect timing, especially on something like a touchscreen, is not the best choice. Like, it's not technically a puzzle.
Yeah, and it's like a similar problem to what I had with A Virus Named Tom, where there would be just puzzles in there. Like, you just go, like, start going through to start doing like actual puzzle stuff, and then you get to the next puzzle, and it's all of a sudden, hey, just it's this really simple solution. Just turn these two things. We have to do it while avoiding 87 enemies, and you only have like 7 seconds to do it. So run, bitch. Yeah, it's one of the main problems I had with A Virus Named Tom in that respect, and to a lesser extent, I had that same problem with time travel, because so there's this one puzzle that comes to mind where there's a bomb in a bubble and it's being bounced in between two pads, and there is a candy. There's like two pieces of candy below, and you have to get the bomb to drop down there, hit them both so that they'll both swing off in different directions, and then go to their individual monsters. And so I spent like a good 5 minutes on that puzzle, just trying to get the exact trajectory of the bomb right. And every time, it's like half the time I either missed them completely, or half the time I only hit one so that it got swung into the monster's mouth, but the other one didn't. And it was just really annoying with that. And like with Lasers, the difficulty curve is a bit wonky, because with some early puzzles I'm only able to like one or two stars, but then like the latter puzzle, it'll just like breeze the entire world, three starring everything. But either way, it is a fun game. Like now that I've been able to play it, where it's like running smoothly and everything, Cut the Rope is a very fun game, and I can understand why it's one of the top selling. Why it's one of the top selling apps in the iTunes store, because it is, according to their thing, after they got 50 billion app downloads.
Impressive.
Yeah. But yeah, so Cut the Rope, it's fun. Time travel adds like a lot of really cool things to it, and it adds a new degree of difficulty with two monsters, and I really like it, so check it out. It's free. You just have to deal with ads. So with in-game ads, I wish there was a way to standardize them. Like, I wish there was like a standard method of putting ads into all the products, because so far, I have a bunch of free games on my phone. Some of the ads just pop up in the middle of the game, and then you just tap the screen, and a little thing comes up and says, hey, visit this page, or skip. You can skip it. Other ads play like a 10-second video. Other ads just put up a picture that has a little X on it. Other ads are just banner ads that take up like one-third of the screen and then fuck up your ability to see where you're going. Phone developers, can you all just like get in a room somewhere and standardize how you put ads into your games? Please? It's really fucking annoying. But anyway, so moving on. After playing some League of Legends, I realized that I had another MOBA game installed on my computer that I have never played before. Dota 2.
You have Dota 2?
Yes. I got it for free from Darkstar Matrix.
Huh.
Thank you, Darkstar Matrix. You can find him at darkstarmatrix.com. So, anywho. So, this game. I played some of this game, now that I've actually gotten a bit into the MOBA scene. I played some of this game. And it is not as good as League of Legends. For very petty reasons.
I felt the same thing. Then again, I didn't play Dota much.
Yeah, so I played like two bot matches and one 3v3 match. And everything that I don't like about Dota 2 is very petty.
Okay, explain.
So, I'll compare it to League of Legends. So, in League of Legends, you have camera options. Like, there's a button on top of your map in the bottom corner of the screen that is very easily accessible and very noticeable. You click that. If you click it and it's activated, the camera follows your champion. You unclick it, you have free cameras, so you're able to roam around the map and check wherever you want. Click the button again, you automatically snap back to your character. It's fine. In Dota 2, I have no fucking idea if this game has an option for the camera to follow your character. I have no idea where to find it. I don't even know if this game has camera options, period. It does the RTS thing where the camera is always free roaming, and in order to like go to places quickly, you have to actually click on the mini-map to zoom to your character. And you have to move it around. If you move your mouse to the edge of the screen, the camera starts moving. If you move the mouse, navigate the camera with the arrow keys. But like one thing I always do when games is when I'm not using the mouse, I always instinctively move it to the side of the screen so it's out of the way. So every time I do that, just okay, so my guy's just running, seems to be fine, I'll just move my mouse over here. Fuck, the camera's moving. And it's really annoying. And I wish there was like a simple, easy way to just say, hey, click this button and my camera will follow your guy. I haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite features of League of Legends, was that you could follow your character so easily.
Yeah. So, second thing. In League of Legends, there is a... So, with the shop, you're actually not able to buy things from the shop unless you are within range of the shop. This might be a kind of iffy thing for some characters, for some players, but, you know, I'd like it. That way, like, you're not, like, in the middle of the field and just buying, like, health potions over and over again. And you actually have to put in some strategy on, like, what you buy, how you buy, when you buy. And because there's also a teleporting spell that will warp you back to your summoner's rift, so you're able to buy whatever you need there at the shop.
And, of course, there's always the brutal choice of, do I, fight my way through minions and just walk back there and save the teleport for if I'm about to die, or do I use the teleport now to get back to the shop quickly?
Yeah, and plus, like with that one, it also gives you there are also like recommended options there, so they just like actually give you a list of things that are recommended for your character and how that character is built to play. In Dota 2, however, you can buy anything in the shop at any point. But you can't actually like get any of it until you go back to the shop. There is no teleport spell to go back to the shop. So if you die, you get back to the area, and you actually have to click a button to grab all of your items that you bought from the shop. So you can buy like five items at a time from the shop, and then those get put into your stash. Once you get back to the shop, then there's a button, little button appears under your stash that says grab all. Why could there have been automatic? You die, go back to the shop. Oh, hey, I got all my items that I bought. Awesome, now let's go. No, there's
it seems
that
like
extra...
that button is quite pointless.
Yeah, there's that extra second of thought put in to actually have to click this button before I leave. I cannot tell you how many times I bought a bunch of stuff, then I warped back to the shop, and then as I was leaving, I forgot to click that button, so I had to walk back to the shop in order to get all my stuff. It's really annoying. And in terms of like the recommended items, there is a small thing of that, but it depends on what build you're using, and I don't know anything about builds in Dota or anything, so I have no idea like what build is supposed to be using, what items would be good for that build is, and I have no idea like what the items actually are, because I don't believe you can actually buy the things from the list. You actually have to find them in the shop.
I do recommend for League of Legends that you do look up some builds, because sometimes just buying the recommended items as they show up is not so good.
I've out of the like matches I played, I've lost two and won like five, I think. Just using the recommended items.
Okay. It also helps with, I don't know if you do this for the recommended items, but buying their subsequent just their parts.
Sometimes I'll buy their individual parts and or like get cheaper ones, but if I just actually have been like hoarding money, I'll just buy the next item without buying the parts.
Because that's something I actually used to do later on when I played League of Legends, because I usually play as Ashe, and some of her items involve vampirism, and so there's individual parts you can buy that give you that vampirism, and it really helps with Ashe to have vampirism.
Yeah, I still haven't actually picked like what champion I'm going to be maining in this game yet. I was thinking Wukong, the monkey, but I'm not entirely sure yet. I've been playing with a bunch of different champions, but I still haven't picked my main. But in Dota 2, I actually have picked my main. I'm going to be maining Doom. He's this giant fucking demon thing who was able to kill minions in a single stroke and take all their power. And it also has like two individual spells that can be used in succession to like deal massive damage to champions and curse them too. So that's awesome. So anyway, final thing that I am kind of miffed about with Dota 2. The in-game announcer says Pwn. Yeah, if you're going on a killing spree, then the god pronounces Pwning. And it'll actually show up in bright text in the battle log.
Because that term isn't old at all.
Yeah. Yeah, but one thing I actually will... Those are my main little miffs with Dota 2. It's just some small little things that really bug me with the game. But a couple things I did like. The game, it graphically, I think it does look better than League of Legends. Which, you know, makes sense because this is a retail product and League of Legends is a free-to-play. Excuse me. And also, the battle log, like in order to bring in the battle log, you click on an icon that is a log. And that was a nice touch. But yeah, like the final thing that I'm like actually a little bit bugged with Dota 2 is there is no training mode that I've been able to find. Like in League of Legends, when you boot up and log in for the first time, it says, "Hey, this is your first time logging in. You want to go through the tutorial?" And then actually go you through and explain like all the different mechanics of it. Like you play against, like you play a couple of dummy matches against like really easy AI. And that was nice. That actually helped me like get into the game. Like at one point, I tried to play Dota 2 in the past, but I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And I couldn't actually. And I like spent like a good like 20 minutes looking around that menu trying to find a tutorial or like a training mode or something, and I wasn't able to find anything. So, yeah, I actually just stopped. I actually just never played it again until I played League of Legends and learned some stuff about MOBAs.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to play a couple bot matches when I come back to League of Legends, because I have been out of that game for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, Dota 2. It's still a fun MOBA. Like, it still looks pretty good. The mechanics work well from what I understand of MOBA. I liked playing it. But I still prefer League of Legends over Dota 2. So moving on, I beat the criminal campaign of Sleeping Dogs. It was underwhelming because previously, like leading up to the end, shit was going down. Like a rival gang shot up like my friend's wedding and killed him and his wife, who was like not involved in the crime world at all. Then like my handler within Interpol like turned on me and actually started selling me out to the different criminals. Then my best friend got fucking gutted and hanged. And then
wow,
it just
brutal.
And then it just ends. And then it's just, oh hey, look, I caught a bad guy. The game's over. And I was just like, wait, what? That's it? That's fucking it? Dude, I just found my friend with his intestines hanging around his feet. You can't go from that to, hey, it's over. It was severely lacking in terms of like any kind of real anything. And it was a real shame because that game started so strong. The game had a really great storyline to it. With just like the actual, like the moral dilemma going in like Wei Shen's head about like his connection to this town and his like responsibilities to his like job as a cop. And Jackie was in there. And Jackie was going through some really great stuff of just learning that the gang life might not be for him and just trying to get out of it. Like, Jackie got his first kill and then just started breaking down. Like, he wasn't sleeping right. He wasn't able to eat right. He couldn't, like, keep anything down. And Yeah, it made sense. Because while Jackie did, you know, like, was like grandstanding as a gangster, as like one of the Sun On Yi, he'd never killed anyone before. He didn't know what it was like to kill someone. And so doing it for the first time had a real impact on him. And it was great. And then he just fucking, he's dead. So yeah, anything, like, this game, it really kind of shit the bed in terms of its storyline. It blew his load way too early, is, I guess, is another way to put it. He just, they had a lot of really cool ideas, and they showed all those really cool ideas right at the beginning, and then had no idea where to go from there.
It always sucks when that happens.
Yeah, and so now I'm just doing cleanup stuff. Like, I had to go around and do favors. I've already found every collectible. So now I'm just, like, cleaning up the... the favors I have left around the city, the cockfights, the fight clubs, the races. And then I have to go on and play Nightmare at North Point, which is one of the expansion packs that was released for the game. Well, I guess DLC add-on. Which I actually got during the Steam Christmas sale for $1.
Steam sales.
Yeah. So in this one, you are hanging out with Not Ping, who is a character in the game. She is kind of awesome. And so you guys went and saw a movie, which was some like really cheesy like Chinese horror movie about jumping vampires and zombies and stuff like that. And so the night you're just hanging around talking, this like people like her uncle or something shows up and says, "Hey, you know, all those things are real." He's like, "No, none of that thing is real. Like, if I..." Like, hell, what? Tell you what, I'll believe they're real when a ghost pops up in front of me. Then a ghost pops up in front of him. Huh. Named Smiley Cat. Who then kidnaps Not Ping. Then you have to fight zombies. But they're the Chinese jumping zombies. So you just have like fucking dead things, their arms held out straight in front of them and just hopping around toward you. Which looks a little ridiculous.
Yeah, it always looked ridiculous.
Yeah, and somehow Wei Shen got the ability to, like, summon his chakra into his fist to deliver a finishing blow to the zombies that causes them to, like, burst into flames or something. And, yeah, this... I'd heard good things about this add-on, and I am not particularly a fan of it so far. I'm, like, admittedly, I'm only, like, 20 minutes into it. But so far, it hasn't really sold me on anything. Like, it's kind of a cool idea, but it's just... But now it's kind of devolved to, hey, you know, remember the main game? Well, here's it with less exciting action going on.
It does seem like they kind of tried to go the way of Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare, but kind of failed.
Yeah. Like, I figure they're going for a kind of... Like, a really cheesy, like, Chinese, like, kung fu horror movie. Because like a lot of the game, does feel like that when they're doing the like just fighting stuff. It's like if they took a like Hong Kong action movie, but then Americanized it like real hard, so everything's really horribly violent and everything. I feel like if they had gone like that direction of just making it all the like Hong Kong fooey action style stuff, but with like a lot more visceral zombies, it could have been a lot cooler. But so far, it just kind of boring. So moving on, I played some more of The Witcher. There are 3 fighting stances in that game, each of them used on different characters and different classes of characters. And there's also individual weapons that can only be used in certain enemies that aren't used with any particular fighting style. They have their own. And then there's also the introduction of meditation and potion forming, and this game is really Russian. So for Russian games, from what I understand, they are kind of a niche genre. Like if you can't get into them, then you'll be able to find some really rich and engaging experiences in there. But in order to get into them, you have to understand a lot of stuff. And The Witcher is definitely that. There are pages and pages of tutorials in my fucking journal, and half of them I don't even remember. But I'm one of the guys who can get into that. I'm one of the guys who can get like deep into all the tutorials and stuff and find something really cool in here. And that's what I'm finding with The Witcher. I find the game really interesting. like, the mechanics are dense. But if you're able to actually see through them, you're able to find something really cool in here. So where I'm at right now in the game. So some people have invaded the Castle of Witchers that I live in and started they took all of our shit. I've killed one of them by standing on his shoulders and throwing my sword down his throat.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then our resident sorceress, she fell ill of the raid, and one of our buddies died. And because it's a Russian game, the voice acting is kind of terrible. We're like, Leo is dead. Damn them. Showing very little emotion, but it actually kind of adds to the experience of just, oh god, this is so Russian. Or like, well, not so much Russian, like Eastern Bloc kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. And I fucked the sorceress. Because he knows the Witcher. Because he knows the Witcher. I got her trading card. And then I ran off into the wilderness. And didn't fight some zombie dogs. And then I met the next person. I'm going to fuck. How do I know I'm going to fuck her? Because she has boobs and a name.
That's all it takes.
From what I understand, like, there was one other female, like, so far all the female characters I've seen, there was the sorceress who wears a shirt that, you know, only covers 25% of her boobs. Then I met a woman in a very brown dress who got eaten by dogs. Then I met another woman with giant boobs who was in a bright green tunic. Midriff, obviously, so you can see her stomach. Who then talked to me. So I'm guessing I'm gonna fuck her. I get her trading card. Her stats are probably gonna be terrible though. We're probably only have like 2 power, 3 defense, and probably have 5 mana to summon her. It'll be terrible. Magic the Gathering jokes. But yeah, The Witcher. The Witcher is weird.
Are you implying that by having sex with women, they can become Magic the Gathering cards that you can then use?
I don't know, okay? Like, I have no fucking idea what's happening in this game. Like, I fuck someone. Like, what happens is we get the bit of the foreplay thing that's going on, and then we see them, like, we see, like, brief glimpses of them, but it's, like, all out of opacity. Like, all the opacity's all been dropped on it. There's, like, some weird filter over it, and it's moving over other stuff, so you can't entirely make out what's going on back there. And then a card just shows up of that person being sexy. No purpose, no, like, it's not like you fuck them and then they like a card bursts out of their soul. It's just weird montage of sex and then card on top of the montage of sex.
See, for a minute there, I thought I forgot that we were talking about a game. I thought we were talking about real life and get a better magic deck put together by sleeping around a bit.
It's like, oh, dude, I got a Doom Cape. You don't want to know what I got for this. I did some things. But anyway. The Witcher's a weird game. I don't know if I can actually recommend it to people. Even though I do like it. Like, it's in a really interesting world. It's in a really interesting world. There's really interesting mechanics in it in terms of, like, the fucking in-depth thing you have to do for every single thing you do. It looks pretty good. It plays pretty well. But it's just so damn dense and weird that I don't know if I can actually recommend it to people. So if anything I've said, just the fucking density of this game and everything that's in it, if that sounds appealing to you, definitely check out The Witcher. If not, stay away. So finally, I figured out how the fuck to do shit in Injustice. Specifically, unlock the new battle modes. Cool. So there are like 20 battle modes in this game. When you start out, you only have 5 unlocked. And at no point do they ever tell you how to unlock other ones. I spent like a good like hour searching around on the internet, on message boards and everything, trying to figure out how to unlock these different message modes. And I had no goddamn idea how to do it. So then I spent another like hour in game just fucking around, and then I eventually found the storefront, which is in archives, which makes no goddamn sense. And so I unlocked all the other mission modes, and I played some of them. They're okay. They're basically just the same things that I've basically just battle modes, but with a modifier on it. Like, beat like 12 guys in a row, but we only have like one health bar. Or beat those 12 guys in a row and you're constantly losing health, or you can't use any of your special moves, or everything's backwards. It's the modifiers are pretty cool, but a lot of times you just end up pissing me off. Like, even more so than fighting games already do.
Inverted controls are terrible. You know what's worse? When a character in a fighting game has a move that can force you to have inverted controls.
Yeah, that's actually
Dead Man uses it on you, and you can't beat him because you're all fucked up. What?
Okay, yeah, it's fair enough. But actually having inverted controls is one of the things. There's a couple missions where like you're fighting against someone and Scarecrow's in the background, and he like fires a dart at you that then like makes the world tilt or turns everything black and white or inverts your controls. And whenever he inverts my controls, I always end up activating my special ability, even if I don't mean to. Because I can never figure out what buttons are, like, how the buttons are remapped. But yeah, the game is still fun. The game is still, you know, the same fighting game I talked about a couple weeks ago on the show. And I still do like it. It just has so much shit in it that really pisses me off. Like, never telling me anything. Having just really retarded missions in the Star Labs mode. Like, half of the mission... Every once in a while, there will be a mission in the Star Labs mode where it's like a side-scrolling shooter. Where, like, flying through the air, you have to, like, dodge asteroids. You're, like, flying through the air, you have to, like... You're flying, like, straight up and down, you have to shoot asteroids out of the way. And at no point do they actually tell you your hitbox. So, at one point, you can, like, be whirling... You're, like, swerving through asteroids, like... Like, it's nobody's fucking business. Like, clipping your wings into them. Another time, you just they so much touch one feather and you just get hit. It's fucking ridiculous. Fighting game controls are not set up well for shooter controls. It never works out.
Yeah, yeah, I never liked any fighting game that does that.
Yeah, it's really annoying. So that's going to do it for what we've been playing, then. So we're just going to take a couple of second break before getting into news.
Are now.
And we're back with news, folks. So, first up, Techland announced last year that they're working on a dark fantasy hack and slash game built on the Dead Island engine, called Project Hell. Since that announcement, not much has been, you know, announced about the game. But now we have. So, first up, it was announced on a post on the site's blog that the game has been renamed to Hellraid. The post also outlined some new features of the game, like the combat system. So, in most standard like fantasy hack and slash type games, the combat system is you click until your mouse breaks. This new combat system, however, will be more precision and timing based for parries and strikes and such. It sounds like Hellraid's going to be adopting Dead Island's analog combat system, which I've heard mixed things about. So for those who know
what the analog combat system,
it's the system where you like lock onto a certain body part and you have to wind up the strike before hitting. You talked about
it once,
but
that part of the combat.
Yeah, so it sounds like going to be that kind of thing of you actually have to aim your sword specifically in order to like get around shields or something, or aim your shield specifically to like avoid getting hit or stuff like that. Which sounds kind of cool, I guess. So while the game will have a single player mode, emphasis has been put on the co-op multiplayer of the game. When asked by himself, project manager Crook, who was the guy who wrote the post, He said the reason they're doing this is, quote, "It's simple. Fighting hordes of hellish monsters is far more exciting when you do it with friends." Which, okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, so on top of the co-op, there will also be elements of co-opetition. where so everything that you do in the game will get you points. From killing monsters to reviving your enemies to getting treasure, everything will get you points. At certain points in the game, the player with the most points will get special rewards, while the other players just get the regular stuff. So finally, Hellraid will have its own version of Left 4 Dead's AI director with the Game Master. It will place loots and enemy spawns in and like around the level and generate online challenges for a different experience every time you play the game.
Awesome. Which, I really like how the AI director is set up. It really helps the replayability of a game.
Yeah, it sounds like this is going to have something similar to that, where like enemies will spawn at different rates in different locations, you'll get different loot as you go through. Which could be cool. That's replay value for games. So we're going to keep trying to update you guys with news as we get it. But if you want news directly from the source, you can find the game at Hellraid.com, on Facebook at Facebook.com/HellraidGame, and on Twitter at HellraidGame. So Hellraid is going to be coming out for the Xbox 360, PS3, and PC sometime this year. So we've got our next piece of news. The Deadpool game adds two new characters. First up is Mr. Sinister, the totally evil mega dweeb, according to Deadpool. Mr. Sinister is this guy who... he clones a lot. Like everyone. It's retarded. And there's also Psylocke, the, quote, hot piece of mutant superheroine. She's even a bit weirder, but she's also really awesome. She's a psychic ninja. So yeah. Those guys are coming to the Deadpool game, which is still coming out on June 25th.
And I am looking forward to it. It might be a game that I buy on its release day, but probably not.
Hey, it's only $50.
We'll see.
Yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news. So Kim Swift and Airtight Games, the developers of the game Quantum Conundrum, and Kim Swift, you may know, is one of the creators of Portal, have announced their next game. Soul Fjord.
I am not excited.
So Soul Fjord is a dungeon crawler with rhythm-based combat, and is basically Blaxploitation Vikings. Okay. So the game will be coming out on the Ouya. It's an Ouya-exclusive game, and... yeah.
I point out in the article, like, my opinion on the Ouya, like, it drastically changed. Initially, I was excited about it. Then that excitement just kind of went like, oh, that console doesn't need to exist at all.
Yeah, the first time I was like, oh man, that's really cool. And then as time started going on, it's like, okay, there is nothing I want in this console. At all. So yeah, that'll be coming out to the Ouya at some point. Woo. Moving on to our next piece of news. Steam is adding support for subscription-based games. So with this, any like MMO you play or any game that requires a monthly service fee, you're able to set up your Steam account so that it will pay that automatically for you. And I can understand this. Like Steam wants to take over PC gaming.
And yeah, this is a move they had to eventually make. I mean, subscription-based gaming is going to exist whether or not they support it, so they might as well allow their platform to handle that.
They might as well get their cut.
However, subscription-based gaming should die in a corner.
Yeah. So anyway, the first game that'll be released to support this is Darkfall Unholy Wars, an MMO that is another WoW ripoff. I'm guessing. So the game will cost you $40 right up front in order to actually access the game, and then it'll be charged an additional $15 a month. And Bobby1 did the math, and that comes out to around $204 for the first year of the gaming.
Yes, the subsequent years are slightly cheaper, but yeah.
So yeah.
First two year
four,
is
yeah. So yeah, $204 for utterly generic.
And blank. There's so much open, empty space.
Yeah, man, it's just...
But Boovy, when you're supposed to fill it with players, well, if you fill it with that many players, everyone will be fucking lagging.
Yeah.
Except that one asshole, Google Fiber.
Yeah, just the asshole from Kansas. Yeah, so moving on to our next piece of news. The second Injustice Gods Among Us season pass character has been announced. It's Batgirl.
Woo.
Yeah.
Interesting character. Not sure how well she works in a fighting game, though. Plus, they have enough bat in there already.
Yeah. Well, actually, they only have one character with bat in their name.
They've taken enough from the Batman comic.
Yeah, they have. So anyway, on top of this, they're also beginning some new outfits, such as the Wonder Woman costume from issue 600, which is the one with pants. There's also going to be the Flashpoint Batman skin, which makes him look, which, you know, changes the outfit into a more black and red look to it, and also gives him, like, sick finger claws and awesome, like, shoulder horns on his cape. Because remember, Flashpoint Batman isn't Bruce Wayne, it's his dad, who's, like, insane. And so then finally we also got a classic skin for Cyborg, making him look like he did in the old comic books, which is to say, less futuristic and more like he's wearing, like, a wrestling leotard. But also robot.
Okay.
Yeah. So, moving on to our next piece of news. Borderlands 2's fourth expansion pack, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragonkeep, will be coming out on June 25th. So, the DLC will be available for $10 on the PSN and PC, or 800 Microsoft points on Xbox, and will be coming free for those who bought the Season Pass. So the premise for this game, if you don't know, is Tiny Tina, the explosive, obsessed, like, 10-year-old girl on Pandora who is awesome, is hosting a D&D game. Hijinks ensue.
I can imagine. When I hear that there's a D&D game being hosted in Borderlands, of course things will escalate quickly.
Yeah, and the trailer they released for it was great. So yeah, moving on to our next piece of news. So, after THQ collapsed into itself, there were a lot of games that, you know, all of us were a bit curious about, such as South Park, The Stick of Truth. That game was purchased by Ubisoft, and we didn't really have any idea who would be, like, how Ubisoft would proceed with that game. Ubisoft had come out and said that the game is still on track for a 2013 release.
Sweet.
Yeah, so a Ubisoft representative told videogamer.com that it had no further update on, you know, the actual status of the title or anything, but that it was still scheduled for release in calendar 2013. And that's all I know right now, and I'm really fucking excited for this because I want to play this game.
Yeah, everything I've seen about The Stick of Truth makes it look awesome, and it does. It serves the South Park universe well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really fucking awesome. So then, moving on to something that is less awesome. EA Games and the Walt Disney Corporation have, you know, signed a multi-year agreement giving EA exclusive rights to make Star Wars video games.
Wait, I don't care. I don't play Star Wars video games.
Yeah, so EA Labels president Frank Gibeau said in a statement, "While we don't have any details to share today on specific titles, our development teams are already brimming with design ideas. The EA studios that will develop these games are some of the most innovative and popular creative teams in the world, and include DICE and Visceral, in addition to the BioWare team, which is already developing for the Star Wars franchise." So yeah. EA says they will develop and publish new Star Wars games for the, quote, core gaming audience across every platform and, quote, most popular game genres. So expect a lot of Star Wars first-person shooters.
I wonder if they're going to bring back... I wonder if they're going to do The Force Unleashed 3.
Maybe they'll, like, revive Star Wars 1313.
Maybe.
I got canceled.
I can only think of what they would do with The Force Unleashed 3, considering how bad The Force Unleashed 2 was.
Yeah. Melee
that's
can
like
be Battlefront
the only Star Wars
game
I care about, in case you haven't noticed.
Unless yeah, maybe
it's
like
a Star Wars Battlefront 3.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Then
maybe
I
like a new
care.
Yeah, maybe like a new one, because you know Star Wars Battlefront 3 is, you know, the Battlefront series has always been, you know, FPSs and action games. So
it's third person shooter, but yeah.
I saw some footage from Battlefront game that was first person.
You can make it first person, but it's primarily
exactly.
a third person game.
Yeah, still, it's a shooter. It's an action game. And EA did release a statement saying, hey, we're going to turn all our franchises into action games.
So yeah, they could easily go on with Battlefront. So yeah, the only games I care about from the Star Wars franchise, Battlefront and Force Unleashed.
Okay, well, we'll see as time goes on.
They'll
so,
probably ruin them both.
Yeah, so while EA will be handling like the platform and like PC and console stuff, Disney still retains the rights to mobile, social, tablet, and online games. So I guess maybe Zynga will be like, maybe PopCap or something will develop those games or something. I don't fucking know. Anyway, that's it for news. On to new releases. So coming out this week, the week of May 7th, we have Fatal Frame 2 Crimson Butterfly coming out on the PSN. Cook Serve Delicious Extreme Crispy Edition coming out for PC. Doritos Crash Course 2 coming out for Xbox Live Marketplace. Remember that one? The fucking advert game that came out for free last year?
Yeah.
Make another one. And it's also free. So, hey, free points. And then we also have Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move coming out for Brick of Shitware. Then moving on to next week, the week of May 14th, we have Dust 514 coming out for PS3. Metro Last Light coming out for PC, Xbox 360, and PS3. Anomaly 2 coming out for the PC. And Super Metroid coming out for the Wii U. So, hey. Yay, I guess. I don't fucking know. Dust 514 is one of the games that actually makes me want to get a PS3, because it's just such a cool premise in terms of what it actually is. Like, just this whole like cross genre MMO thing where things you do in like the MMO affect how things happen in the FPS, and things you do in the FPS happen in like affect the world of Eve in its like entirety, and it's really cool.
Yeah, that is honestly quite interesting. And once again, if I was invested in any of those games, or if I had a PS3, I'd totally jump all over Dust 514.
Yeah. But I guess we'll have to sell for Doritos those... Crash Course 2. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this week, I guess. So, thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds. We have at Bovion. You can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DeathStoreProdsVids for myself and YouTube.com/Bovion for Bovion. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of us, etc. And you can find us on Stitcher. Download the app and check us out on there. And finally, we're on DeviantArt. So head over to deathstoreprods.deviantart.com. There's a link at the bottom of the page. And check our cosplay stuff. Woo! This week on the website, we're going to be having the anime podcast this Thursday, as well as new anime club episodes 3 and 4 of Angel Beats. This Friday, we're going to be having a commentary track for the Amityville Horror as part of Platinum Dunes Month. Then, this Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be having Anything Cast live. Please show us longgames.com/chat. We'd love to hear from you guys. Then, comics next Wednesday, movies next Friday, as well as the commentary track for Friday the 13th. But...
Yay.
Yeah, it'll be... We just so love watching these movies for you guys.
I can't hate it more than the Amityville Horror, because, like, the Amityville Horror was a genre I hate.
Yeah, that was really bad. But anyway, until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovion.
And we'll see you guys next time.